The books of Kings present us with a narrative of the monarchies of the United Kingdom of Israel under Solomon, and then the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah under their various kings. And as we've worked our way through this book of 1 Kings, we've begun to see that the spiritual state of each kingdom is dependent upon the faithfulness of their king to Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we're in the midst of the reign of Ahab, who was king over the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And we've noted already how he spurned the Lord's word and worshipped Baal rather than Yahweh, and brought Israel under the Lord's judgment, which came by way of a drought and famine. In contrast to Ahab, king of Israel, we met with the Gentile woman. She trusted the Lord's word despite her idolatrous background, and she experienced the Lord's power to bless. Now, as we come to the 18th chapter of this book, we are continuing to think about the Lord's word as it plays a central part in the unfolding narrative. This time, we'll think about what it is to obey the Lord's word, to act upon what the Lord commands. And we'll consider obeying the Lord's word with confidence, with courage, and with conviction. These are our three subheadings. To obey the Lord's word with confidence. First of all, in the first verse of chapter 18, we're told that after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So there have been these 3 years of drought to which the Lord refers here. Drought that has come at the prayer of Elijah. Drought that has come as the judgment of God upon Ahab and the nation over which he reigns because of their idolatry. And all through these 3 years, the Lord has been providing for Elijah, first by the brook Kereth, and then later through the widow of Sidon, who had an unending supply of flour and oil at God's provision. Now the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and tells him to go to Ahab and that he would bring rain upon the earth. Now, of course, Elijah is a prophet of God, and so he stands in a unique place as a servant of God to whom God speaks and through whom God speaks to his people and at times to others also. Elijah is a prophet then to whom God speaks directly. So the Lord's word to Ahab is often a private word. It is a word that comes to him and to him alone. It is for him alone. Not always. Sometimes it is a word that comes to him because he is then to proclaim that word to others. But in this instance, and in others that we have already seen, God speaks to Ahab to give him specific instructions. Here he says, "Go, show yourself to Ahab." Now that isn't a general word. That's a specific word for Elijah. "You go, Elijah, show yourself to Ahab." No one else of all the prophets of God had to go and show themselves to Ahab. No one else out of all of the people who were still loyal to God in Israel had to go and show themselves to Ahab. No one in Judah who worshipped the Lord God had to go and show themselves to Ahab. This was a word specifically to Elijah as a prophet who was being directed in the way that he should go. Just as the Lord had spoken to him earlier and said to him, go to the brook Kerith, east of the Jordan. No one else had to go to the brook Kerith. No one else had to be supplied meat and bread by the ravens beside that brook. The word of the Lord had come to him and told him, go to Zarephath, and I will feed you there through the hands of a widow. No one else had to go there to Zarephath. All of the Bethanese that had not bowed to Baal, that were still loyal to the Lord in Israel, they didn't all march to Zarephath to be supplied by this widow. It was a unique, a private, a specific word of the Lord to Ahab. And in this context, there is a prophetic dimension to this word. It is for a purpose that will have a specific outcome. Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. God was going to reveal himself as the one who withholds rain and supplies rain. Ahab was now a worshipper of Baal. He was a worshipper of this fertility god who had failed dramatically to enable the land of Israel to be fertile. It was dried up and ravaged by famine, and the beasts were dying for lack of food. And God was going to show not only that he could withhold the rain over against Baal, who had no power, but he was also able to bring rain at the exact moment that he determined to do so. This would be no accident. This would be an act of the living God. And this word then that has come to Elijah, this private, specific, prophetic word, Elijah immediately acts upon. He is immediately obedient to it. So we're told Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. There is no delay. There is no reasoning with God, suggesting to him that perhaps this wasn't the best approach and there might be a more subtle way to inform Ahab that the Lord was about to bring rain on the land. No, this is the prophet of God who acts as a spokesman for God, speaking the word of God to whomever he is sent to declare that word. And so he himself must act upon that word. There would be no point in expecting that Ahab would heed the word of the Lord if the prophet of God would not obey the word of the Lord. And Elijah is quick then to respond and to obey this word with total confidence in God. He is fully assured that God will do what God has said he will do. That was true when he was sent to the brook Kerith. He believed that the God who said that ravens would bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening would do so. And the Lord did so. When he was sent to Zarephath and was told that a widow would supply his needs there, even when he encountered the widow and the widow informed him that she didn't have so much as a meal for her own self and her son to tide them over until there was a greater supply of food, he nevertheless believed the word of the Lord and instructed her to make him a meal with what remained. He had total confidence in God when the Lord God instructed him to act. It was the word of the Almighty God. It was the word of the God who does all that he desires in this world. And so this word can be obeyed with confidence. And while we are not all prophets of God, and called to be his servants in this specific way, nevertheless, when the word of God comes to us, we can with confidence obey it. For he is the unchanging God. He is the eternal God, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is still the Almighty God. We may have advanced technologically in the millennia since Elijah walked this earth, but God is still God, and he is still seated upon his throne. He is still working out his purposes, and we can have complete confidence in him to obey his word. So we are to obey the Lord's word with confidence in this Almighty God. Secondly, I want to speak about obeying the Lord's word with courage. You know, it's not just, say, Elijah that we have in this passage. We also encounter a new character in the unfolding story. His name is Obadiah. And the narrator tells us that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. His name means worshipper of Yahweh, or servant of Yahweh. And how appropriate it is to this man. Now, we mustn't confuse him with the prophet Obadiah, from whom we have a book. There was, according to one commentator, about 13 distinct people called Obadiah in the Old Testament. Well, this is one of those people. And he is a man who fears the Lord. He worships the Lord. And yet, this man is over the household of Ahab. He is responsible for everything in Ahab's household. And some have questioned, how could a God-fearer be in such a position in the household of a king who was so rebellious against the Lord? How could it be that Obadiah could stay in that position? Well, we don't know all the details. And God hasn't chosen to reveal to us all the details. In our culture, of course, it's easy come, easy go. We decide where we'll work, and we decide when we won't work there any longer. And we have a great deal of freedom to move about and make our choices in that way. We live in such an individualistic and independent culture that no one would really bat an eye if someone decided their time was up, it was time to move on, time for a change of scenery, a change of boss. Well, perhaps things weren't quite so easy in the Israel of Elijah and Obadiah's day. And to hand in your notice to the king may not have been received quite as well as perhaps handing in your notice to your present boss. Obadiah was there, though. And even while he was there in the household of this rebellious king, he feared the Lord greatly. He didn't allow the influence of his king and sovereign to affect him and his own loyalty to the living God. He was rock solid in his faithfulness to God. And it may be that he even saw his position in the household of Ahab as one providentially given to him by the Lord in order to serve the Lord and the Lord's people. We're told that when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Now, it may only have been bread and water, but that's 100 mouths to feed every day. We're not told at what point exactly he did this, but the drought's been going on for 3 years. And it may have been for the whole of that period of time, and perhaps longer, that he has been looking after these men, providing for these men, secretly protecting, saving the lives of these prophets of the living God. And in doing so, he showed incredible courage to live in the household and to have oversight of the household of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, while fearing the Lord and serving the Lord's prophets, would have taken great courage. Where did he get this courage from? He got this courage from God and from the Lord's word. The Lord's word that governed his life. The Lord's word that guided his practice. The Lord's word that he was obeying at this particular time, when all in Israel seemed to be falling apart and under the judgment of God because of its rebellious king. Obadiah obeyed the Lord's word with courage. And you say to me, well, where is the Lord's word? We're not told that God told him to look after these 100 prophets and to provide for them bread and water. No, we're not told that specifically, because the Lord's word to Obadiah, unlike the Lord's word to Elijah, is not specific. It's more general, we might say. And the Lord's word to Obadiah, unlike the Lord's word to Elijah, is public and not private. The Lord doesn't come to him at night while he sleeps, like he did on 3 occasions to Samuel, and call his name and speak a word to him that was private and specific. This is a more general word, a more public word, a word that all Israel knows. The Lord's word in this regard is not a prophetic word, but a moral word. It is his law that undergirds the life of the Lord's people and directs them how they are to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. And it is this word that Obadiah is obeying. He sees the Lord's prophets in distress, and he sees it as his duty, given opportunity, to serve these prophets, to protect these prophets, to provide for these prophets, to love these prophets as he would love himself, and desire that if he were in similar straits, that someone would protect his life, that someone would provide for his life. And so the word of the Lord has come to Obadiah, not specifically, not privately, not prophetically, but publicly and generally, and with a moral emphasis that guides his life, even in the midst of great immorality in the kingdom of Israel. And this took courage. To obey the Lord's word when all around you is going against the Lord's word and living by different standards. You know, we have a huge and stark contrast being made in this passage. We're told the description of Obadiah, who feared the Lord greatly, and when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them on bread and water. And then we're told, and Ahab said, let's go through all the land to the springs of water and to the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals. Ahab's concerned about his livestock. Obadiah's concerned about the people of God. Ahab has fulfilled his wife's wishes and slaughtered the prophets. Obadiah saves the prophets. All Ahab is concerned about is the economy in Israel, not the spiritual condition in Israel. that the word of the Lord has come to Obadiah. He knows it, and it directs his life. And he courageously obeys the law of God and serves the prophets, protecting and providing for them. And this word of the Lord, this word carries blessing for the people of God. It is worthy of our obedience, even when we may need great courage to obey it in the face of opposition and different standards. And so we too must obey the Lord's word with courage in a society that is constantly at odds with God's will and living in disobedience to his law. We must be courageous and obey the Lord's word to love him and to love our neighbour. And then the third thing, the third aspect of obedience that I want us to consider is that we are to obey the Lord's word with conviction. Here are Elijah and Obadiah. They're so different, these two men. You think about them. There's the prophet Elijah. We think of him perhaps as the greatest of the prophets. And he really stands as a representative of the prophets. You remember how on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets who met with Jesus on the Mount and spoke with him there. He was a great prophet. He's a figure that stands as a man of strength against the tide of immorality in the land of Israel. He's an outspoken personality. Very visible, and we might say very loud. Everyone heard him. His voice was not silent when the Lord spoke through him. And then we have Obadiah. And he's there. He's in the household of Ahab and Jezebel, living there day in, day out, rubbing shoulders with this evil monarchy and tending to the affairs of the kingdom. He's an undercover servant of God, really. He feared the Lord greatly. There is no hint here that there is any compromise in Obadiah's heart or in his actions. But he's not on the radar for Ahab and Jezebel. He comes undercover. And what he does undercover is remarkable, isn't it? Looking after these 100 prophets who Jezebel wanted to kill. And he's hidden them away secretly in a cave, and he's feeding them day in and day out. And all of this is going on, and no one knows apart from a few of the prophets, of those who truly fear the Lord. Obadiah assumes that Elijah would have heard about this. And so it's not totally secret, but it's a work and a ministry and a service that is known only to those who love the Lord. And yet these two very different men, they both obey the Lord with a total conviction that his will must be done, whether as a prophet or a civil servant. The will of the Lord must be done, whether it comes as a specific prophetic revelation or whether it comes as a general command through the law for all people everywhere. The Lord's will must be done. This is their conviction. This is what drives them. This is what guides them. Even when the Lord's word was opposed all around them in Israel, they were convinced the Lord's will must be done. The Lord's word for them was preeminent. The Lord's word for them was greater than all. The Lord's word for them trumped the highest office in the land. Even the king and his consort were not to be obeyed above the word of the Lord. And they understood, you see, that the Lord's word was powerful. The Lord's word accomplished that which the Lord purposed. And so when Elijah is commanded, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth, he is convinced that when he goes to Ahab, the Lord will send rain upon the earth. Now, as we will see in the next section of this chapter, it's obvious that Elijah has been instructed further than what we are immediately given at the beginning of the chapter. The way that the Lord will send rain upon the earth is done in a specific way and according to a specific plan. But nevertheless, Elijah is convinced that the Lord's word is powerful to accomplish that which he purposes. And Obadiah, likewise, is absolutely convinced that obeying the Lord's commands will powerfully bring the blessing of God upon him. He is convinced that nothing can go wrong if this is the Lord's will. And he will bow to the Lord's will and serve the Lord according to his will. And we catch a glimpse of that as the story unfolds. As he meets Elijah and recognizes him and falls down before him and says, is it really you, Elijah? And Elijah says, yes, it is me. Now you go and tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And then we have this interesting interaction, don't we, between Obadiah, the civil servant who fears the Lord, and Elijah, the prophet of God. Obadiah asks, have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? You know, you want me to go and say, Elijah is here. But Elijah has a habit of disappearing. And that wouldn't be good for me, Obadiah says, in effect. I'll go and I'll tell Ahab, Elijah's here, and when Ahab comes to this place, you won't be here. The Spirit of God will carry you away, or something will happen. But when Elijah says to him, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today, we're told, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. Obadiah was convinced that the word of the Lord was the purpose of the Lord that must be fulfilled. And when he knew that for sure, then he was willing to obey, even though he feared. You see, courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is action in the face of fear. And Obadiah demonstrates his courage as he continues to serve the Lord as preeminent and sovereign over all, including Ahab. For the word of the Lord is totally trustworthy. And it can be obeyed with conviction that God will fulfill his purposes. And his purposes for his people are for their good and his own glory. You know, of course, that obeying the Lord's word is not optional. You cannot disobey God and get away with it. The judgment of a holy and just God falls on those who walk in disobedience to him. That is exactly what is happening with Ahab and the people of Israel who follow Ahab. The Lord's word is not optional. Take it or leave it. Obey it or disobey it. It doesn't really matter in the end. This is a path that all are called to follow. But it's a path that we are called to follow falteringly and failingly. Not that we're called to follow it falteringly and failingly, but that's how we follow it, isn't it? We're not perfect, and we stumble along this path of obedience to the Lord's word. The only way that we can walk in obedience to the Lord's word is in union with King Jesus, is under the protection of King Jesus. For he is the obedient Son who himself, with confidence and courage and conviction, always did the Father's will. And in doing so, he secured salvation for those who desire to do the Father's will, but do so haltingly and stumblingly and failingly. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us a righteousness that comes from a perfect obedience that is a covering for our faltering obedience. And through this perfect Son of God, we all are made sons of God and heirs of glory. He gives us hearts to worship the Lord and to serve him as we follow his example, so that with confidence and courage and conviction, we may obey the Lord's word for his glory in a world full of sin and rebellion against our God. And this is the way of blessing. This is the way of peace. The peace is not full and complete immediately, for we are at war. But it is certain, and it will be eternal, for it comes from the eternal God, who is true and trustworthy. So let us bow to him in obedience. Let us be an Obadiah, a servant of Yahweh, and worshipper of God, till the day we draw our last breath and enter into his eternal presence. Let's pray. Our Father, we do live in a world that is at war with you, and we feel it, and we fear it, and so often we lack courage in the midst of it. We pray that by your Spirit, you will give us this boldness that we need to stand firm for you, and to obey your word with confidence and courage and conviction, knowing that you are the Almighty God, whose word accomplishes your purposes and will bring us at last into your presence forevermore. Bless us, we pray, out of your riches in glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.